You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Just pray for you, Paul, before you begin. Father God, we thank you so much for Paul, for his family, for his heart, for all that he carries. And Lord, would you come and fill him tonight with your Holy Spirit? Anoint him, anoint his words. God, our hearts are open to whatever you want to say through Paul. I just pray for courage and peace. And would you bless him as he pours out for us tonight? Would you pour into him? And would you bless Paul, Felicity, the whole family in Jesus' name? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks a lot, Josh, for the prayer. And good evening, everyone. Yes, I would like to thank God who is giving me this privilege. It's a big privilege to be used by him to talk to all of you, his church. So it's a great privilege. And at the same time, I want to thank the leadership of Whole Vineyard for the trust, as always. It's really very important things to give someone to preach in the church. It's really a big privilege. From where I come, there is a way of expressing that, but I won't say it here. So thank you to all of you for being here tonight and giving your evening for the Lord. I know there are so many things going on, but you've decided to come and to stand here for the Lord, to talk to you, for you to talk to him and receive from him. So for those who don't know me, I am Paul Muzadi, and I am married to Felicity, my wife. She's there, and I have, as it has been said, I think, 7 children, which is really interesting. So I have 2 of them here, the oldest, and 5 of them are home with our oldest daughter. A few years ago, we couldn't do this. And we were like, everywhere where we were going, we were with them. Everywhere. So we were like, what is this? From where we came from, Africa, for those who don't know, Central Africa, Congo. So always when you are living at your place and with the means that we had, so you would always have a cousin, a sister, sister-in-law, you would have someone. So here it was just, we were like just finding strange when they were younger, when we came in. So everywhere we go, we should have them with us, everywhere. But today, when we go out, just her and me, no offense to you, Samuel Gover. Yeah, so I lead one of the home group in the church in the east part of our city. And we do many things in the church. I work in the welcome team as well. So for the past 5 weeks, we've been journeying into the book of Revelation, and we are in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, where we are trying to see the message that our Lord Jesus was sending to 7 different churches in that time, but those messages are still relevant today for all of us. And the series we've had for the past 5 weeks is entitled End Time Church, End Times Church. And for those who were here last week and those who were not, Fiona talked about the letter or the message to the Church of Sardis. This church was one that did a lot of great stuff. Good deeds, so much that it had a reputation of being alive, but under the surface, it was dead, spiritually inactive, And the encouragement was for us to wake up. That's the message that the Lord was giving to that church, and the message that God is giving to us again now, that we shouldn't be just like he was telling to Pharisees, white tomb, where they look outside, they see it's beautiful, it's nice, it's shiny, but inside, inactive and dead. So that's the message that the Lord was giving to the church of Sardis, which is also a message for us today. And this evening, I will be focusing on the message that the Lord was giving to the church of Philadelphia. And we're going to read Revelation chapter 3, 7 to 13 in the New International Version. That's what it says. It says, to the church in Philadelphia, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars. I will make them to come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the message to that church, the Church of Philadelphia. A long message with a lot of things. But let's put things first in context and the history context. History tells us that Philadelphia was a small city in the Lydian region of ancient Anatolia. Sardis, which was the church from last Sunday, was the capital of the region, whilst Thyatira was also another city in the same region. The city name could come, that's what historian says, from Attalus to Philadelphus, the Attalid king of Pergamum, whose loyalty to his brother Amenes II Soter, who preceded him as king, earned him the nickname Philadelphus, meaning broadly loved. So it was really his lovely, he loved a lot his brother. So that's why he gave him that name. In today's geography, the city is in the modern Iran. This section of the scripture, which is Revelation 3, 7 to 13, contains many things, as you have read it with me tonight. But I would like to focus on mainly three big things. And for your own Bible study, you can sit and look at some other things. But for the sake of time, I will just focus on three main things. And these three main things are, the first one is open doors. The second one is Jesus' commendation. And the third one is Jesus' promises and the challenge of finishing well. So the first one, let's see what the Lord is saying to the church then and today on Open Doors. Before I go and expand on the Open Doors, I just want to highlight something which is like a current, something which is occurring and happening all the time in all of the letters. The Lord all the time is saying, I know, I know, I know. If you read all seven letters, you will see the Lord is always saying, I know, I know. And I want to remember you, or to remind you, sorry, that Jesus is God, and he knows everything. That's why he was all the time reminding those churches that I know, I know, I know everything. And then when you take your time and read from the first church to the seventh, you will see how many things Jesus knows. He says, I know your deeds. I know your work. I know your perseverance. I know your affliction. I know your poverty. Where you live, even where you live, I know where you live. Tonight, I want to remind you as well, I know where you live. Not me. Jesus knows where you live, even the kind of house it is, with all the rooms it has, he knows. Even when you are in one of the rooms and you are weeping, crying for something, he knows. I know your love. I know your faith, your service, and perseverance. I know. I know you are now doing more than you did first. I know that. Last week, he was saying, I know your reputation. Even that he knows as well. But he also knows that there's nothing inside. He knows that as well. So, briefly, he knows everything. There's nothing we can hide him. He knows everything. That's why he is a reliable God. That's why you can rely on him, because he knows everything. He knows everything. You may go through the toughest time. He knows that. Or you can be going through the nicest gold time. He knows that as well. And he wants you to enjoy that as well. Are you with me? Yes. Open doors. In verse 8, part A, Jesus is saying, see, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. Jesus himself placed an open door. That's what he's saying. Before this church, he said, myself, I placed an open door before you. I placed it. And tonight, I want to tell you that he's also placing an open door before you. He's placing an open door before Old Vineyard Church. Amen. He's placing an open door. In this city, he's placing an open door. Do you know that center is an open door? A big open door which will open for all Vineyard to reach so many people in this city. It's an open door which is placed before all Vineyard Church. And we thank God, because all of us, we are responding positively to that open door through all the prayers that we are doing, not only the prayers, but through all the donations, the contributions that we are doing. So we are saying to the Lord, even if we've not seen yet a center built over there, we are saying to the Lord, by faith, we believe you are building this up faith. So that's why, by faith, we are giving our money toward the building. It is an open door. Can you tell your neighbor, be active in the open door? by giving, by praying. What is an open door? The dictionary defines a door like a usually swinging or sliding barrier between by which an entry is closed and opened. It's an entrance or an exit point between two areas. So between the sanctuary and the cafe, you have a door, which is for the moment, it's closed. But if you open it, you will go to the cafe or you will come into the sanctuary. In 1 Corinthians 16:9 and 2 Corinthians 2:12, Apostle Paul is talking about two doors which are opened before him. So you can read it, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, and 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. He's saying, there are doors which are opened before me. And for him, those doors were doors where he had to preach the word of God, because it was in different places. And he's saying, the doors are open for me to go and preach in those places. And I can see those doors. They are open for me to preach, to go there and announce the gospel. So open doors can mean many things. One of them is opportunities. An open door is an opportunity which is there for you. An open door can be a directional change. It can be a change of direction. The Lord is asking you to change the direction. I remember when I was younger, I'm still young, but I'm saying younger. I was, I think, 19. I was about to go to uni, and my option, what I chose to do, what I wanted to do, was to do economics. And then I went to my uncle in Congo, Kinshasa. I went to my uncle, and then we discussed, and he said, you know, for you to go to this uni, I know someone who is in that uni who can help you with the admission. So I said, oh, that's fine, okay. So he asked me, give me your file. I gave him my file. I gave him the money for the enrollment, and you had to pay some more money for like an advance or something like that. So I gave him. So he took it. And the admission time passed. They announced the result, everything, and my name was nowhere. So I went and asked him, I said, look, what is wrong? So he told me, oh, you know, I was so in need, and I took your money, I ate it. I drank some beer and I ate it. That's the truth. It's not a joke, that's what happened. And then I sat and said, my Lord, what's going on? What am I going to do? And I couldn't go to that uni anymore because the time was past. I couldn't be admitted again. And then I was like, what do I do? And I had to have that year just off. I couldn't go to uni. I couldn't do anything. So I spent all of that time at church, in my church at that time, praying, preaching the gospel, doing many things. And during that time, the Lord spoke to me and said, you are not doing economics anymore. I said, what? I would like to do economics. No, you are not. I was just in prayer discussing with God like I'm talking to you. So you are not doing economics. I said, no, I'm doing economics. No, you are not. So what am I doing? You are going to do theology. I said, theology? Why theology? No, I'm preaching. I can speak. What do I need? Theology. So you are doing theology. I went to see my pastor, theology. And the last thing which was wrong at that point, I went to see my family. And I said, I want to do theology. It was a big war. The firstborn of our family, you want to do theology. Why? What are you going to do with theology? So it was a war in the family. A war. But what did the Lord do? He brought me a scholarship to do it. So I went through first grade of uni up to my master with a scholarship. Because he shut a door for me to do economics, but he opened the door for me to do theology. And then later, I became something else, plus the theology. And my family was, oh, is it like this? I was like, yeah, that's God. Because the kind of job I was doing, when you relate it to theology, everyone was like, how it comes you did theology and you are doing this? Yeah, that's God who can do that. So I want to tell you, if you are a student tonight, follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. It can open doors which are directional changes. Changes your direction. Open doors can be opportunities, they can be promotion, they can be a beginning of new season, a closure of an old period. I can see, I can sense this here in Vinia. We are living a beginning of a new era. You can sense it. The Lord is doing something which will have an impact for generations and generations. And we are like at a door here now of this era. And I thank God because we are actors. And tomorrow we will be very, very, very good ancestors. When they will talk of John Clark or of Josh Turner on this place, on this land, good ancestor. Tell your neighbor, we are good ancestors. Open doors can be favors, blessings. They can be us being people of peace and influence where we are. That's open doors. As a church or as individual, the Lord leads you to places where you are a blessing. You start something which is impacting so many people. And that's what the Lord is setting us up now as a church. I remember during the COVID era, the church where we were going was, as most churches, praying online. And then I was like, yeah, that's fine. And then second lockdown, and then the lockdown was lifted. And then we were like, ah, yeah, Lord, now the lockdown is lifted, so that's good, that's good. And then we're still praying online with many people. And then the pastor of the church says, oh, no, we are not stopping being online. We're staying a church online. We won't be in-person church anymore. So I was like, ah, Lord, what are we going to do with seven kids? And then you only pray online. They only see the church online. And we start to pray. And then I had visited Ulvinia once before the COVID era. And then when praying, the Lord just told me, take your whole family and go to Ulvinia one Sunday. We just came here one Sunday with all the kids and everyone. And the same time, he said to me, visit some other churches. We start visiting some other churches. We came here, and then we also went to some other churches. But when we came here, we went back home, and we sat with everyone, the kids, my wife. We started praying and discussing. And everyone was like, we can feel like we are home at Ulvinia. The kids themselves, so we prayed. And the Lord said, that's where I have opened the door for you. The door for you is a place where you worship, you serve, you preach the gospel as a local church, your home is Ulvinia. We said, okay, and we came in. Since then, July 2020, well, when was the lockdown again lifted? 22, huh? 21. We've all forgotten. Wow, you can see why the Lord was asking Israel in Deuteronomy, remember, because we've forgotten. When was the lockdown? Is every door, open door from the Lord? That's another question. The answer is no. Not all open doors are from the Lord. Some doors can be opened by God himself, as you've read in Revelation chapter 3:8. And when God opens, sometimes there are oppositions. And that's why Apostle Paul, when you read 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 Corinthians, he says, I can see a door open, but I can see a lot of oppositions. That's why when there are doors, there are many actors who are around the doors. So you can have the enemy and his strong men. So they would come and they would seek to shut any doors that the Lord is opening in your life. You can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4, 5, Ephesians chapter 6, 11, 12. So they will try to block the progress. They will try to destroy what has been done or the door which is opening. So you need to be aware of the tactics, the things they can do so that they can close the doors that are opening for you. You will find some other actors who are, we can call them tonight, gatekeepers. Gatekeepers are those who have the authority to guard access point to the doors. And you can have these like those that Jesus was speaking about in Matthew or Luke, the doctors. He was saying, you have the keys, but you are shutting the doors and you are not allowing yourself to go in. And also you are not taking others or allowing others to go in. So you are bad gatekeepers. The Lord wants us to be the good keepers. That's why he says to Peter and others, he says, I am giving you the keys to the kingdom of God. I'm giving you the keys of heaven so that you can open and things will be opened. If you close here, things will also be closed because you are gatekeepers. And in our lives, as we walk, as we do things, we will find that there will be people, sometimes will be gatekeepers, sometimes bad, sometimes good. So the challenge is, and for everything, discernment. You need to be aware to discern what is happening. What to do when God shuts doors? In Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 10, Apostle Paul and friends are trying to preach the gospel in different cities and towns. But the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord kept them from preaching the word in the province of Asia. But later, Apostle Paul had a vision where he saw someone calling him to Macedonia for help. Then, with the others, they decided, they said, oh, we have to go to Macedonia to preach. So it's important for all of us to discern when a door is open, who is opening it, and when a door is shut, who is shutting it, and why. In this case, Apostle Paul could see that the doors were shut for them to preach in different places. And someone said that you should push the door, but never use your shoulder. This is something which Pastor Josh was telling me, and I'm quoting Pastor Josh. We pray, fight, and contend, but we should avoid stepping out of God's will when a door is shut, and that God who is shutting the door. Like Paul, if they fought and they used the shoulder to go in, when the Spirit was saying, don't go in, they would have had issues. But when they discerned that, the Lord doesn't want us to preach in Asia, but he wants us to go to Europe, Macedonia, at that time, part of Europe. So they moved and went there. So it's very important also to know that if the enemy shuts the door, you need to fight and contend. So if it's the enemy, you need to fight and contend. But if you see and you understand that it's God, you need to obey and follow what the Lord is telling you to do. So it's important for all of us to recognize an open door in our life today, so that when we are facing different doors, we choose the good door and also we do the will of God. So when you want to discern if it's God's will, you need to see that God first never contradicts his word. For whatever door that the Lord would open before you, you need to be aware that he won't contradict his word. He won't contradict his will. God will always confirm his will through his word and also his people. God will always God's answer requires more of him to accomplish. So when God opens the door, he will also come to help. That's why Jesus was telling them, he said, I can see that I have opened the door, but I know you are weak. So I will help you myself. So himself comes to help you in the process. He knows your level or he knows your capacity. So when you are also before doors, you need to pray and fast. You need to pray because before doors, the enemy come and contend. That's what Paul said. So you need to pray, and prayer helps to fight all the opposition. And that's why I would remind you that our continuous prayer for Hope Center is really very important. Our continuous prayer for the open door in Bolivia is very important, because we have an open door in Bolivia. Now that we are talking about, now the enemy knows about that. So we need to pray for it, continuously pray for it, so that we would fight the opposition. Are you with me? Jesus' commendation. In verse 10, Jesus says, since you've kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. In this verse, Jesus is praising the church. He's saying, you have kept my command to be persevering, and you've done that patiently. And by doing that, I am really pleased. But I know that the context is difficult. The moral of the city is difficult. But you have kept following me. You have kept my instructions. As we've seen through the letters, that the context can ask us to stand against sexuality, immorality, to stand against so many idols and gods that we have in this era. The Lord asks us that we do that, but he knows that when we are doing that, he is happy with us. So he's not ignorant. He's not like overseeing it and not really noticing. No, he knows that you are in a context at your uni, in your workplace, in different places, but it's difficult to be there, but you are keeping his word. You are being one of his ambassadors. He's happy with that. Are you with me? We are in a meeting at work a few months ago, and one of the colleagues says, I give a suggestion of something to do, and one of the colleagues says, so Dan, you, Paul, you do everything you've suggested for all of us. And then I laugh. And then another one says, Paul, in his mind, he must be using the F word against you, the guy who suggests that I should do everything for everyone. And then when he says that I must be in my inner, my heart, using the F word against that colleague, everyone, we were 14 in that room, everyone stands and say, no, Paul cannot say that. I was like, what is happening? Paul cannot say that. I said, why? Everyone said, we use F words in this office. Paul has never used the F word. Since he has been in this office, we've never heard him use the F word. Why? Because it's not my ethic to use it. And everyone in the office uses it, whatever, when they receive an email, they use it. When something is, they use it. When it's like you're sitting and doing something, you say, hey, the F word. And then when you look at him and say, this email, this guy sent me an email. I go, okay. Continue. So everyone defended me, said, no, yes, he never used it. Why? Because I am keeping my faith, as Jesus is saying here. He's commanding us in the context where people do different things which are really not honoring God, you are keeping your position. Tonight, Jesus wants you to know that he's seeing you the way you are enduring and persevering. In the midst of all the challenges you are having, he's seeing you. And he's happy with that. And I can tell you, amongst all the seven letters, this is the letter where Jesus is not giving a reproach to the church. He's just giving commendation and good things. There are only two, this one and another one. Jesus promises and the challenge of finishing well. Verse 11, Jesus says, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Jesus is going to come back. And he is looking for people who are ready. How will he find me when he will come back? Because he will come back. He's promising he will come back. And when he comes back, he's saying, I will find people in different states, but I want to find you. When I find you and you've persevered, you've won the victory, you've done everything, I will give you a crown. And I will not only give you a crown, I will also write your new name. Your new name will be like my new name. So, he's giving promises. Jesus is giving promises. One, he will come. He will come back. Even if it seems like it's long, he will come back. And I like the way my senior bishop in Congo was saying it. He says, when people are saying, when is Jesus coming? It's long, soon. What's the meaning of that soon? I can tell you he's coming soon. Don't stand and kill yourself or argue with people on the when, soon. What's the meaning of soon? But adopt this view, which our bishop in Congo was saying. He said, I will live a life of holiness as if Jesus is coming today. I will live a life of holiness as if Jesus is coming today. But I will do my work for him in the world as if he's coming tomorrow. When it comes to my holiness, I will be holy, holy, seek that the Lord will not find me as someone who was forsaken him, who has done shipwrecked with his boat. I will do my best to remain faithful to him as if he's coming yesterday, as if he's coming today. But for what I have to do for him, I will do it here. I will do it in Bolivia. I will do it in the different places where we are in the city, as if Jesus is coming tomorrow. We need a perspective like this when we are looking at the second coming of Jesus. He is coming. And we need to keep our faith alive. Because Jesus was worried. He was worried. When you read in the gospel, he says, when the Son of Man will come back, will he find faith on the earth? That's the biggest challenge. I'm going to finish there. The challenge, which I'm calling the challenge of finishing well. Are we going to stay in faith until when Jesus comes, if he comes today? Solomon started very well with the wisdom, the greatest wisdom in the world. But then, when he finished, it was challenging. So, remember this before we pray. Distraction is the enemy of direction. Distraction is the enemy of direction. So you have your direction, you are going somewhere, distraction comes, and when you are distracted, you deray from your direction. So may you be focused that Jesus is coming. May you be focused that we have to build the Hope Center which has to help so many people. May you be focused that we have to go to Bolivia. So we need money to go to Bolivia. We need people who are going to Bolivia. So if you have not signed up, sign up for that. If the Lord is giving you the conviction that it's an open door for you. You need to be focused.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And to stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.